Chapter 4. Operations during competition below armed conflict. In all history, this is the first time that an Allied headquarters has been set up in peace to preserve the peace and not to wage war. General Dwight D. Eisenhower on the formation of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO. This chapter begins with an overview of how the Army contributes to competition below the threshold of armed conflict as part of the joint force. It describes methods employed by adversaries and how Army forces contest adversary activities by supporting combatant command campaign plans and preparing for large-scale combat operations with unified action partners. The chapter concludes by discussing how Army forces consolidate gains and transition to crisis or armed conflict as branches to joint campaigns. Overview of operations during competition. Competition below armed conflict occurs when an adversary's national interests are incompatible with United States interests, and that adversary is willing to actively pursue them short of open armed conflict. While neither side desires, at least initially, to use military force as the primary method to achieve its goal, the adversary is willing to employ national instruments of power, including military force, below the threshold of actual armed conflict to achieve its aims. The resulting tension between the two sides creates potential for violent escalation when one side challenges the status quo. Operations during competition are intended to deter malign adversary action, set conditions for armed conflict on favorable terms when deterrence fails, and shape an operational environment with allies and partners in ways that support United States strategic interests and policy aims. Army forces are successful during competition when they deter adversary malign action, enable the attainment of other national objectives, and maintain the ability to swiftly and effectively transition to armed conflict when deterrence fails. Theater armies support combatant commanders as they conduct operations to deter adversaries and achieve national objectives. Their operations, conducted as part of a combatant command campaign plan, are conducted over time and across broad areas without armed conflict. This may include cooperative training, support to local institutions, construction projects, and a range of other activities. In many cases, enduring engagement is necessary, especially given the tendency of adversaries to pursue strategic objectives over long periods of time that do not comport with the shorter political strategic cycles found in the United States or among many of its allies and partners. Army forces contribute to conventional deterrence during competition by preparing for armed conflict, including large-scale combat operations. This includes assisting allies and partners to improve their military capabilities and capacity, preparation for combat operations, and demonstrating the interoperability of the United States joint force with allies and partners presents the strongest deterrence to adversaries. Deliberate messaging that communicates the will and capability to conduct combat operations can amplify the deterrent effect of physical actions on the ground. Interoperability, coupled with the demonstrated capabilities and capacity of Army forces, reinforces a unified approach to defending mutual interests. Even a small contingent of forward-stationed United States Army forces are a challenge to defeat when operating with allies and partners. A force ready for large-scale combat operations contributes to the potency and integration of the other instruments of national power, provides combatant commanders capabilities for graduated responses, and enables the Army to help the joint force achieve national strategic objectives through competition rather than armed conflict. Adversary methods during competition. To effectively plan, prepare, execute, and assess operations during competition requires a broad understanding of the strategic environment and common adversary methods and objectives. Adversaries use a range of techniques to hinder the United States from achieving its objectives during competition and further their own interests. Forward-positioned Army forces may be able to detect and assess such adversary activities. By understanding and effectively countering adversary techniques, Army forces can help the joint force and interagency partners achieve their objectives. activities to achieve strategic goals. Adversaries employ all of their instruments of national power in a combination of ways to pursue strategic interests without direct military confrontation with the United States. For example, Russia applies its elements of national power through an approach called New Type War, also labeled Russian New Generation Warfare. This approach allows Russia to achieve many of its strategic goals below the level of armed conflict and with limited employment of military forces. If coercion through diplomatic, information, and economic instruments fails, Russia is prepared to employ its conventional military power and proxy forces as needed. China also relies on a comprehensive use of its instruments of national power. Like Russia, China seeks to achieve many of its strategic objectives with non-military instruments of national power and keep military forces in a supporting role that reinforces facts established on the ground with other than overt military action. By using all instruments of national power, an adversary is able to further its interests through a range of non-military and military activities that may provide advantages over United States forces. Examples of non-military activities include Russia and China's diplomatic efforts to establish security cooperation agreements with neighboring countries as a way to expand regional influence. Another example is China's use of infrastructure projects as part of the Belt and Road Initiative to grow its economic influence. In both examples, adversaries primarily use non-military means to achieve strategic objectives while weakening United States influence and undermining political military partnerships between the United States and other countries within these same regions. Adversaries can pursue more aggressive options through military activities that safeguard their interests abroad, maintain regional stability, and exert influence regionally and globally. These activities may include controlling or reducing access to certain areas of the global commons, challenging the established borders of other nations, or using the threat of force to influence the decisions of neighboring countries. Adversaries may pursue these activities overtly with the use of conventional military forces or covertly through a combination of proxy forces, unconventional warfare, and information warfare. Proxy forces are generally non-state actors aligned with respective state actors, and they perform activities on behalf of or in accordance with the state actor's strategic objectives. Examples of proxies include paramilitary groups, criminal organizations, private civilian organizations, private companies, special interest groups, and religious groups. Covert methods, such as the use of proxy forces, provide adversaries with plausible deniability and cost savings in achieving strategic objectives. Activities to counter a United States response. While adversaries desire to further their interests and achieve their goals without United States involvement, they will be prepared to counter a response from the United States military. To do this, an adversary may attempt to prevent or constrain the United States' ability to project forces to the region and limit United States' response options by using the following methods. Conduct information warfare activities to manipulate the acquisition, transmission, and presentation of information in such a way that legitimizes the adversary's actions and portrays the United States as the aggressor. Conduct preclusion activities through non-lethal means to undermine relationships, raise political stakes, manipulate public opinion, and erode resolve to constrain or eliminate basing rights, overflight corridors, logistic support, and concerted allied action. Isolate the United States from allies and partners by fostering instability in critical areas and among relevant actors to increase United States operational requirements. Create sanctuary from United States and partner forces through international law and treaty agreements, monitoring and attacking partner forces from across international borders, and using proxy forces. Conduct systems warfare by executing cyberspace attacks against critical force projection and sustainment infrastructure nodes to delay or disrupt the United States' ability to deploy forces. Systems warfare approaches include non-attributable attacks on domestic infrastructure and the employment of networked military capabilities that support isolation and preclusion efforts. Activities to preclude United States access to a region. Adversaries seek to establish conditions that limit or prevent United States access to a region, typically in locations close to their borders. This includes forward positioning of layered and integrated air defenses, early warning surveillance radars, rocket artillery, electronic warfare capabilities, and counterspace capabilities. Additionally, adversaries may seek to position intermediate-range ballistic missiles, cruise missiles, fixed-wing aircraft, unmanned aircraft systems, and naval surface and subsurface forces to shape an operational environment in their favor. Positioning systems that support an anti-access A2 strategy allows adversaries to deny or disrupt United States access to a region in the event of hostilities, while providing leverage against friendly partner nations with the potential use of force. Furthermore, the positioning of systems capable of delivering conventional and nuclear munitions creates additional challenges for the United States. An adversary's ability to establish, maintain, and demonstrate robust A2 systems bolsters its domestic narratives while eroding partner nation trust and confidence. Friendly forces must assume they are always under observation because of all the means available to appear adversary, particularly those available in space and cyberspace. In addition to forward positioning capabilities that support A2 and area denial, AD approaches, these adversaries seek understanding of the disposition, readiness, and activities of United States forces within a contested region. Adversary activities include reconnaissance of United States military installations, unit movements, ports of embarkation and debarkation, and staging areas to identify potential targets for ballistic missiles and long-range fires. Adversaries employ cyberspace tools to conduct reconnaissance of friendly networks to identify vulnerabilities for possible exploitation. An adversary may conduct probing actions in the air and maritime domains to test responses by United States and other friendly forces. The intelligence gained through these activities will prepare an adversary for hostilities in the event a situation escalates to armed conflict. See the ATP 7-100 series for a detailed discussion on specific threat capabilities and employment strategies. Refer to Chapters 6 and 7 for specific examples of how adversaries are likely to employ A2 and AD capabilities in the beginning of a conflict. Preparation for large-scale combat operations. Army forces that cannot credibly execute operations during armed conflict neither deter adversaries nor assure allies and other unified action partners. Preparation for large-scale combat operations is therefore the primary focus of Army conventional forces during competition. While there are multiple forms of armed conflict, large-scale combat among state actors is the most complex and lethal form of armed conflict, and it demands significant focus along multiple lines of effort to prepare for it. Some of the activities Army forces execute to prepare for armed conflict include setting the theater, building allied and partner capabilities and capacity, improving joint and multinational interoperability, protecting forward-stationed forces, preparing to transition and execute operation plans, OPLANs, training and developing leaders for operations in specific theaters. Set the theater. Setting the theater is the broad range of activities continuously conducted to establish conditions for the successful execution of operations in a theater. Setting the theater never ends. It is conducted to enhance an operational environment in ways favorable to friendly forces and occurs during competition, crisis, and armed conflict. While setting the theater occurs across each strategic context, its importance is greatest during competition because that is when the most time is available. Army forces must set the theater during competition to enable quick transitions during crisis and conflict, when time favors the aggressor. Army forces use military engagements, security cooperation, and other activities to assess and understand the current conditions within the theater and execute specific theater-setting activities to enable joint forces and other unified action partners. Setting the theater requires a comprehensive approach among unified action partners and bilateral or multilateral diplomatic agreements that allow United States forces access to ports, terminals, airfields, and bases in the area of responsibility to to support future operations. This includes, but is not limited to, theater opening, reception staging, onward movement and integration, RSOI, establishing networks, classifying routes, and other operational activities that set the conditions for operations in the AOR. Information activities are a significant part of setting the theater. They enable decision-making, protect friendly information, inform domestic and international audiences, and influence foreign audiences while helping to counter adversary information warfare. Setting the theater is a continuous activity for all staff sections and warfighting functions. It involves significant sustainment, air and missile defense, AMD, engineering, information collection, intelligence and communications focused on setting conditions to counter known or potential threats to United States interests across the AOR. All warfighting functions, functional areas and branches that comprise staffs and commands conduct preparation of the operational environment to address unique considerations for setting the theater within their respective areas of expertise. For example, civil preparation of the environment and joint intelligence preparation of the operational environment. For more information about the land components, roles and responsibilities for setting the theater in conflict, refer to JP3-31 and JP3-35. For additional information about the subordinate Army tasks and activities associated with setting the theater, refer to ATP3-93 and FM40. Build allied and partner capabilities and capacity. Army forces fight as part of a joint and multinational force. The United States cannot achieve its security interests without the cooperation of treaty allies, partner nations, and other unified action partners. Helping partner nations build, rebuild, or maintain their national security institutions is a critical step in maintaining regional stability, and it is ultimately less expensive than requiring United States forces to do so. Additionally, by maintaining partner nation security institutions, the Army helps add to the aggregate force that is available to potentially deter adversary forces or counter them if they choose to pursue their goals through armed conflict. Forward-stationed United States Army forces by themselves generally do not enjoy favorable combat power ratios with peer adversaries. Allies and other partners provide the bulk of forces initially able to conduct operations during armed conflict. This combined force capability enhances deterrence for both the partner nation and the United States. Combined training and exercises with partners play a key role in building allied and partner capabilities and shaping an operational environment. Such events are the most overt and visible means of demonstrating friendly capabilities, interoperability, and will. Exercises also help set the theater. Multinational forces that maintain high levels of combat readiness provide the credibility essential to assure partners and deter adversaries. Combined exercises build relationships and mutual respect among allies and other multinational partners. Identify systems and processes to employ partner capabilities effectively, and reveal shortfalls to be improved upon. Training exercises occur at all echelons of command, from tactical units to large combined task forces. The application of lessons learned during these exercises is key to improving multinational interoperability during competition. An example of a failure to prepare for large-scale combat operations occurred in the Philippines in 1941. Vignette: Failure to Prepare for War, Philippines, 1941. During the summer of 1941, the United States Army took steps to prepare for potential armed conflict with Japan. The War Department created the United States Army Forces in the Far East, USAFE, and recalled General Douglas MacArthur to active duty to serve as the commanding general. The War Department provided USAFE with the priority for equipment and reinforcements within the Pacific Theater of Operations to support General MacArthur's defensive plans. By December 1941, USAFE had made significant strides but had not done enough to effectively prepare for armed conflict. When Japan's forces attacked the Philippines on 8 December 1941, 10 hours after their attack on Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, USA fee was short personnel, supplies, and equipment. Aside from a provisional tank group, most forces were ill-equipped and possessed obsolete weapons and vehicles. The Philippine Armed Forces, whose readiness was also a USA fee responsibility, were even less prepared than United States forces. They lacked modern weapons, effective logistics systems, and training. The War Department and USA fee attempted to make up for these shortcomings by distributing supplies from pre-positioned stocks on the islands of Corregidor and the Bataan Peninsula to both United States and Philippine units stationed throughout the archipelago. The Far East Air Force was equally unprepared. It lacked early warning systems and anti-aircraft artillery. Planned survivability improvements to airfields were incomplete, leaving aircraft exposed on flight lines and parking aprons. As a result, the Far East Air Force lost over half of its aircraft by the conclusion of the first day of the war, most of which were destroyed on the ground. Although the United States and Philippine forces mounted a fierce resistance for nearly 6 months, Japan eventually isolated the defenders in the Bataan Peninsula and on the island of Corregidor with naval and air forces. In the absence of friendly air and naval support, the United States and Philippine forces were unable to receive reinforcements, resupply, or conduct an evacuation. As a result, the United States and Philippine forces in the Bataan Peninsula fell to Japan's forces in April 1942, and the remaining forces on Corregidor and the surrounding islands surrendered in May 1942. Interoperability. The ability of Army forces to fight as a cohesive whole, integrated with a joint force, allies, and partners, is vital to maximizing combat power and creating a deterrent effect in a theater. Interoperability is the ability to act together coherently, effectively, and efficiently to achieve tactical, operational, and strategic objectives. JP3O. An Army formation that is interoperable with joint and multinational partners is substantially more capable than one that is not. Interoperability with any unified action partner is essential to effective operations. Interoperability standards and procedures must be trained, tested, and refined during competition. It is too late to seek interoperability once a crisis or armed conflict begins. Interoperability starts with mutual understanding across echelons throughout a multinational force. Effective interoperability includes understanding technical challenges and developing methods to bridge gaps, understanding the tactical capabilities of each member in the multinational force, and integrating partners into a unified operational approach. During competition, the theater army, or a delegated command, is responsible for building the infrastructure that enables this. Communication is primarily achieved through liaison teams, understanding staff processes, and ensuring adequate access to partner nation command and control, C2, systems within the limits of national caveats. Understanding foundational interoperability requirements like NATO doctrine, American, British, Canadian, Australian, and New Zealand, known as ABCANS, Army's Program Interoperability Standards, and Combined Forces Command in the Republic of Korea processes, is critical to communicate and interoperate with allied forces. It is essential that these requirements and standards are incorporated into routine training and exercise planning at all echelons to build the required interoperable readiness needed in a time of crisis or conflict. See FM3-16 for more information on multinational operations and interoperability. Protect forward-stationed forces. Peer threats possess reconnaissance and surveillance, fires, special operations forces, and other capabilities that can range forward-stationed Army forces and place them at risk. The protection of Army forces forward, under the assumption that deterrence is not guaranteed, is essential. Army forces implement procedures and conduct necessary activities to ensure they and the elements of the joint or partner force they protect can endure an initial attack with little early warning. This includes preparation for threat attacks from any domain that is informed by understanding what holds friendly forces at risk and how a threat may attack. An adversary could attack using capabilities from domains other than land, either to set conditions on the ground or as a means of escalation designed to limit friendly options. Preparation by Army forces, therefore, includes planning and integration with other elements of the joint force. Coordination for Army and joint capabilities that are able to protect friendly forces during armed conflict and enable them to endure until they can be supported is critical to establishing deterrence. The demonstrated ability of Army forces to withstand an adversary's initial attack adds to the integrated deterrence effect on adversaries and may dissuade them from escalation. Host nation capabilities may constitute a significant part of force protection and forward defense, so they must be integrated into theater protective efforts. Forward deployed forces that cannot be adequately protected or quickly repositioned during adversary escalation to armed conflict should be relocated to more defensible locations. Prepare to transition and execute operation plans. Army forces at every echelon prepare to execute O plans that they are expected or likely to support. The foundation for this is active, continuous information collection and intelligence analysis. Higher echelons, such as the Theater Army and Corps, identify initial targets and the required Army and joint capabilities needed to attack those targets in the initial stages of an armed conflict. They likewise consider whether general defense plans that provide guidance for subordinate unit immediate action during the early stages of a conflict initiated with few indications or warnings are necessary or prudent. Preparation to execute O plans must extend to all echelons and partners. Lower tactical echelons train tactical tasks related to the parts of an O plan they support or execute. Units conduct deployment rehearsals and emergency deployment readiness exercises to improve response times and validate plans. Rehearsals with unified action partners build mutual understanding and improve interoperability. Units conduct thorough reconnaissance of all lines of communications, infrastructure, avenues of approach, assembly areas, and potential firing points or battle positions. Leaders and soldiers should walk the actual terrain that engagements and battles could be fought on, and, when possible, they should use this terrain for rehearsals. A shared understanding of O plans, terrain, and adversaries down to the lowest tactical echelon will allow an effective transition to armed conflict. Train and develop leaders. Leaders prepare themselves, their subordinates, and their organizations for operations in specific combatant command AORs. When developing expertise in specific regions, units become familiar with applicable O plans and coordinate with the Theater Army, the Assigned Military Intelligence Brigade Theater, MIBT, and other Theater Army-assigned units as appropriate. This regionally specific readiness augments ongoing training and leader development activities conducted across the force. Refer to Chapter 8 for a detailed discussion on the role of leadership during operations. Relative advantages during competition. During competition, Army forces seek relative advantages at the theater's strategic, operational, and tactical levels. Relative advantages are advantages that Army forces provide the joint force commander in relation to a specific adversary, and they are always contextual. They are necessary to deter adversaries, assist the joint force in promoting United States interests, and set conditions to conduct operations during crisis and armed conflict. These advantages augment unified action partner activities, and they address service-specific issues identified during combatant command campaign development. Identifying, achieving, and maintaining these advantages helps the Army employ combat power effectively during crisis and armed conflict. A relative advantage is temporary. Adversaries quickly adapt to counter-advantages, especially technological ones, once they are created or employed, and they seek to reduce or eliminate their effectiveness. Understanding advantage relative to an adversary requires understanding the adversary's capabilities and will, friendly capabilities and will, and the operational environment within the theater. It further requires understanding of the interrelated influences of each dimension in an operational environment, including how physical, human, and information factors affect each other in a specific context. Changes in one dimension often have outcomes in the other two and in more than one physical domain. Physical advantages during competition. Due to the expected tempo of operations, a sufficient number of Army forces comprised of the right capabilities must be forward stationed to provide combatant commanders with a credible deterrent force and the ability to respond, when necessary, to adversary actions. Physical advantage encompasses combat power and the correlation of forces, the ability to deliver effects, superior range, and the ability to concentrate superior capabilities at the right places and times. Examples of activities that create physical advantages during competition include working with allies to conduct a deployment exercise of a theater-tailored unit to improve its O-plan integration and interoperability, surveying a potential assembly area with a forward engineer support team to determine if the area is of sufficient size to accommodate a properly dispersed Army formation, hardening facilities against attack, and rehearsing drills in response to potential adversary courses of action, maintaining stocks of key supplies and equipment, Army pre-positioned stocks, APS, in or near areas of concern to accelerate deployment of forces during crises or armed conflict. Information advantages during competition. Information activities play a key role during competition. They include Army support to the combatant command and unified action partner strategic messaging. Coordinating with interagency and other unified action partners helps to develop and deliver coherent messages that counter adversary disinformation. Army forces reinforce strategic messaging by maintaining and demonstrating United States Army readiness for operations. Examples of relative information advantages are identifying targets and conducting target development on threat capabilities, setting the conditions for convergence by developing methods to penetrate adversary computer networks, discrediting adversary disinformation by helping the JSC inform domestic and international audiences through Army and joint information activities, promoting the purpose and outcomes of multinational exercises and training events, continuously monitoring the operational environment to detect changes to adversary methods or narratives. Human advantages during competition. The institutional depth and professionalism of United States Army personnel contribute to the morale and will of partner security forces as Army forces interact across all ranks and echelons. Army formations serve as a professional force operating under the rule of law as guests in a specific region to facilitate the accomplishment of mutual military training goals. This can be a powerful advantage over adversaries who seek to extract concessions, including financial and informational gains, from other countries or groups. This bond of trust forms the foundation of the United States alliance system, and it is the primary means to ensure the security of the United States and its partners. Examples of activities that help achieve human advantages include training United States and partner nation forces in multinational exercises at combat training centers, routine interaction with allies and other unified action partners that builds and maintains human, technical, and procedural interoperability through agreed-to standards, hosting international officers at United States professional military education programs and sending United States officers to international military schools, sustained presence by theater-aligned advisor teams that builds relationships and promotes interoperability over time. Interagency coordination. Military engagement, security cooperation, and deterrence activities usually involve a combination of military forces and capabilities separate from but integrated with the efforts of interagency participants. These actions are coordinated by diplomatic chiefs of mission and country teams. Understanding their roles and relationships is critically important. The Department of State is responsible for the diplomatic instrument of national power. Chiefs of mission are the final approval authorities for all United States military activities that occur in the nation they are responsible for, and they have the authority to modify the execution of planned activities during competition. See JP50 for more information on country-specific plans. Activities that occur during competition encompass a wide range of actions where the military instrument of national power supports and is subordinate to the other instruments of national power. Competition overseas generally requires cooperation with international organizations, for example, the United Nations, and government entities in other countries to protect and enhance mutual national security interests, deter conflict, and set conditions for future contingency operations. United States Diplomatic Mission. United States diplomatic missions include representatives of all United States departments and agencies physically present in the country. Chiefs of missions are the principal officers in charge of diplomatic missions. They are often, but not always, ambassadors. They oversee all United States government programs and interactions with and in a host nation. The chief of mission is the personal representative of the president and reports through the Secretary of State, ensuring all in-country activities serve United States interests and regional and international objectives. The United States maintains different types of diplomatic missions in different countries. Some countries have only a consulate, many have only an embassy, and others have an embassy and a number of consulates. Typically, Army elements conducting security cooperation activities coordinate with diplomatic mission officials, even in nations with only a consulate. Relationships with consular offices are determined on a case-by-case basis. The same entities and offices existing in an embassy are present or liaised at consulates. CFM 3-22 for a detailed explanation of this role in relation to Army operations. Country team. The country team is the point of coordination within the host country for the diplomatic mission. The members of the country team vary depending on the levels of coordination needed and the conditions within that country. The country team is made up of the senior member of each represented United States department or agency as directed by the chief of mission. The team may include the senior defense official or defense attaché, the political and economic officers, and any other embassy personnel desired by the ambassador. The country team informs various organizations of operations, coordinates elements, and ensures unity of effort. Military engagement with a host country is coordinated through the Defense Attaché Office or Office of Security Cooperation at the embassy or consulate. However, several other attachés and offices may also be integral to security cooperation activities, programs, and missions. The country team provides the foundation of local knowledge and interaction with the host country government and population. As permanently established interagency organizations, country teams represent the single point of coordination, integration, and synchronization of security cooperation activities supported by combatant commands and the theater army. It is incumbent upon the theater army, with the approval of the combatant command, to work with and inform the country team of recommendations for military engagement, security cooperation, and deterrence activities that involve army forces across all domains. Competition activities. There is only one thing worse than fighting with allies, and that is fighting without them. Attributed to Winston Churchill. Competition involves activities conducted under numerous programs within a combatant command. The combatant commander uses these activities to improve security within partner nations, enhance international legitimacy, gain multinational cooperation, and influence adversary decision-making. Competition activities include obtaining access for United States forces, maintaining sufficient forward-based presence within a theater to influence conditions in the strategic environment, and mitigating conditions that could lead to a crisis or armed conflict. At any time during competition, but especially during times of heightened tension, leaders must take great care to ensure Army forces avoid activities that accidentally provoke crisis or armed conflict. Army forces, as directed by the theater army, must stay within an activity level that meets the combatant commander's intent for readiness without unintentionally increasing tensions. Activities that occur during competition are directly tied to authorities provided in various titles of the United States Code and approved programs, and they are integrated and synchronized with the Department of State, other government agencies, country teams, and ambassadors' plans and objectives. The Department of State and the United States Agency for International Development, USAID, help produce the Joint Regional Strategy to address regional goals, management, and operational considerations. Each country team develops both an integrated country strategy and a country development cooperation strategy to address joint mission goals and coordinated strategies for development, cooperation, security, and diplomatic activities. Working with the Department of State and various country teams, the combatant commander develops country-specific security cooperation plans, which are codified in the Country-Specific Security Cooperation section of the Combatant Command Campaign Plan, CCP. Some CCPs include regional country plans, posture plans, and theater distribution plans that facilitate synchronization of resources, authorities, processes, and timelines to favorably affect conditions within the combatant commander's AORs. Army forces execute activities during competition that support joint force campaigning goals, satisfy interagency requirements, and set the necessary conditions to employ Army combat power during crisis and armed conflict. The theater Army works with the combatant commander to develop objectives for the employment of Army forces in theater and develop support plans to address Army-specific activities. Army forces provide security cooperation capabilities across any given theater of operations by conducting military engagement, security cooperation, nuclear deterrence, counterweapons of mass destruction activities, and humanitarian assistance. Military engagement. Military engagement is contact and interaction between individuals or elements of the armed forces of the United States and those of another nation's armed forces or foreign and domestic civilian authorities or agencies to build trust and confidence, share information, coordinate mutual activities, and maintain influence. JP3O. Military engagement occurs as part of security cooperation, but it also extends to interaction with domestic civilian authorities. Army forces will also routinely communicate with non-governmental organizations, either directly or indirectly, to ensure expectations and roles are understood. Combatant commanders and Army senior leaders seek out partners and communicate with adversaries to discover areas of common interest and tension. This increases the knowledge base for subsequent decisions and resource allocation. Such military engagements can reduce tensions and may prevent conflict, or if conflict is unavoidable, they may allow the United States to enter into conflict with greater access and stronger alliances or coalitions. Army forces support military engagement through deliberate interactions with unified action partners at the junior soldier through senior leader levels. The State Partnership Program provides a good example of how powerful military engagement can be. Vignette. Successful Engagement. State Partnership Program. The State Partnership Program supports the security cooperation objectives of combatant commanders by developing enduring relationships with partner countries and carrying out activities to build partner capacity, improve interoperability, and enhance United States access and influence while increasing the readiness of United States and partner forces to meet emerging challenges. The program links a state's National Guard with the partner nation's military, security forces, and disaster response organizations in a cooperative relationship. Since the program's inception in 1993 with the three Baltic republics, it has expanded to encompass partnerships with 89 nations. Most of the earliest State Partnership Program partner countries in Europe have gone on to become United States allies in NATO, and many of them credit the State Partnership Program and their National Guard partners with helping make that possible. By building enduring relationships based on mutual trust and support, the State Partnership Program has expanded the pool of aligned global security providers and improved the capabilities of both United States Army units and partner nation militaries across the world. Security cooperation. Security cooperation is all Department of Defense interactions with foreign security establishments to build security relationships that promote specific United States security interests, develop allied and partner nation military and security capabilities for self-defense and multinational operations, and provide United States forces with peacetime and contingency access to allied and partner nations. JP3-20. These efforts may include Army forces participating in joint and multinational exercises and employing regionally aligned forces. Conducting security cooperation is one of the Army's primary stability tasks. Security cooperation is governed by the Foreign Assistance Act and the Arms Export Control Act, addressing DoD interactions with other nations. The Department of State is the lead agency for security sector assistance. All DoD security cooperation programs must nest with Department of State security sector guidance. See JP3-20 for more information on joint security cooperation and FM3-22 for additional details on Army support to security cooperation. Commanders and staffs conduct security cooperation to develop allied and other friendly military capabilities for self-defense and multinational operations, to improve information exchange and intelligence sharing, to provide United States forces with peacetime and contingency access, and to mitigate conditions that could lead to a crisis. Multiple types of security cooperation activities can often occur simultaneously with overlapping purposes. These activities include security assistance, security force assistance, SFA, foreign internal defense, FID, and support to security sector reform efforts. Security assistance. Security assistance is a group of programs the United States government uses to provide defense articles, military training, and other defense-related services by grant, lease, loan, credit, or cash sales. Security assistance programs are typically focused on the transfer of defense articles and services to eligible foreign governments, the provision of training and education to foreign military personnel, and the sale of construction services in support of partner nations' military establishments. Military education and training exchanges are invaluable for building interoperability and fostering trust over time between United States Army and partner personnel. Security Force Assistance. Security Force Assistance is the Department of Defense activities that support the development of the capacity and capability of foreign security forces and their supporting institutions. JP3-20. Security forces are duly constituted military, paramilitary, police, and constabulary forces of a state. JP3-22. Consistent with Department of Defense, DoD, policy for SFA, the Army develops, maintains, and institutionalizes the capabilities of its personnel to support efforts to organize, train, equip, rebuild or build, and advise foreign security forces and relevant supporting institutions. SFA activities are conducted primarily to assist partner nations to build their capacity to defend against external and transnational threat actors. Security Force Assistance Brigades, SFABs, are Army organizations focused specifically on this mission. SFA and security assistance are different. Security assistance is a broader set of programs that includes training, but also includes equipment transfers, sales, and other programs. SFA works in conjunction with security assistance programs while focusing specifically on building the capacity and capability of foreign security forces and their supporting institutions. Foreign Internal Defense. Foreign internal defense is participation by civilian agencies and military forces of a government or international organizations in any of the programs and activities undertaken by a host nation government to free and protect its society from subversion, lawlessness, insurgency, terrorism, and other threats to its security. JP3-22. FID includes the actions of both non-military organizations and military forces. FID is a comprehensive approach that supports partner development towards democratic governance and military deference to civilian rule. These activities may employ the indirect use of military forces along with diplomatic, informational, and economic means. FID involves the support of a standing host nation government and its military or paramilitary forces. The focus of all United States FID efforts is to support the host nation's internal defense and development program to build the capability and capacity of the host nation to achieve self-sufficiency. FID is an Army Special Operations Forces core activity. See JP3-22 and ATP3-05.2 for a detailed discussion of foreign internal defense. SFA and FID have much in common because both enable friendly partners' capacity to provide for their own defense. While there can be overlap, FID activities are aimed at strengthening a wide range of functions, including both military and civilian governmental institutions, against internal threats. SFA activities improve military and other security forces against both internal and external threats, and they do not include activities that primarily support other government institutions. Support to security sector reform. Security sector reform is a comprehensive set of programs and activities undertaken by a host nation to improve the way it provides safety, security, and justice. JP3-07. The overall objective is to provide these services in a way that promotes an effective and legitimate public service that is transparent, accountable to civilian authority, and responsive to the needs of the public. Security sector reform is an umbrella term that includes integrated activities in support of defense and armed forces reform, civilian management and oversight, justice, police, corrections, and intelligence reform, national security planning and strategy support, border management, disarmament, demobilizations and reintegration, and reduction of armed violence. The Army's primary role is supporting the reform, restructuring or reestablishing the armed forces and the defense sector across the competition continuum. United States and partner military forces collaborate with interagency representatives and other civilian organizations to design and implement security sector reform strategies, plans, programs, and activities. The Department of State leads and provides oversight for these efforts through the Integrated Country Strategy. The desired outcome of security sector reform programs is an effective and legitimate security sector firmly rooted within the rule of law. Nuclear deterrence and countering weapons of mass destruction. United States nuclear capabilities are foundational to the deterrence of adversary weapons of mass destruction use. To ensure the credibility of this deterrent, joint and army forces must integrate the planning and operations of nuclear and conventional forces. Further, army forces must plan, train, and exercise to conduct operations under the adversary threat or use of weapons of mass destruction in order to deny the adversary any perceived advantage that might result from employing weapons of mass destruction. To do so, commanders and staffs must continuously assess, protect, and mitigate the effects of adversary chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear seaborne weapons use and contamination hazards. They must train under simulated weapons of mass destruction conditions. When under threat of nuclear attack, commanders must balance the risk of dispersing forces to mitigate the impact of nuclear effects across their AO against the ability to concentrate sufficient combat power to achieve objectives. In a chemically contaminated environment, a commander's decision-making ability is complicated by the effects on soldier stamina, reaction times, and sustainment. Each of these environments requires unique actions to ensure a formation's ability to maneuver, fight, and sustain operations. See ATP3-90.40 for more information on countering weapons of mass destruction. Humanitarian assistance. USAID is the lead United States government agency responsible to the Secretary of State for administering civilian foreign aid and providing humanitarian assistance and disaster relief. USAID often works in concert with Army forces when soldiers are tasked to provide assistance. It can supplement forces conducting civil affairs operations that the DoD conducts to build relationships and win the trust, confidence, and support of local populations. One example of a successful humanitarian assistance operation occurred during an Ebola outbreak in Liberia in 2014. Vignette: Liberia. Operation United Assistance. In October 2014, a joint force comprised of 3,000 soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines deployed to Liberia to help contain and eradicate the Ebola virus. The 101st Airborne Division, Air Assault, served as the Joint Task Force JTF headquarters during this operation. The 101st worked with the Government of Liberia, the United States Embassy, United States Army Africa, USAID, the United States Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and the United States Public Health Service. USAID was the lead federal agency. Army units helped build and supported 17 Ebola treatment centers across Liberia. Army forces trained 1,500 healthcare workers, and a logistics system was established that provided medical supplies and building materials. As a result of the rapid response and achieving unity of effort, Liberia went from 80 new cases of Ebola a day to being declared Ebola-free within 7 months. Roles of Army Echelons during competition. Theater armies, including their assigned theater echelon commands and brigades, perform essential functions during competition to achieve national objectives while deterring adversary malign action. Corps, divisions, and brigade combat teams, BCTs, are crucial to the execution of operations, activities, and tasks during competition. These forces may support SFA or FID by participating in multinational exercises and conducting humanitarian and other civil-military operations, development assistance, and training exchanges. Army forces at core and lower echelons directly engage with partner forces, governmental and non-governmental organizations, and civilian populations to accomplish missions, build rapport, and improve conditions that promote stability. Theater Army roles during competition. The Theater Army is the primary Army organization that plans, prepares, and oversees the execution of activities conducted by Army forces during competition and assesses the results of these activities. It supports and enables the combatant commander's pursuit and maintenance of operational access critical to achieving advantages throughout an AOR while improving the security capabilities of partner nations. Gaining relative advantages during competition requires intelligence about the adversary's capabilities and intent relative to friendly forces. While adversary intent is more difficult to ascertain, both factors are equally important since capability plus malign intent represent a larger immediate threat than either factor on its own. This understanding allows theater army commanders to recommend actions to the combatant commander that impede adversary goals or convince adversaries to seek alternative courses of action more favorable to United States interests. The theater army integrates army forces and capabilities with the other instruments of national power on behalf of the combatant commander. It fulfills combatant commander requirements while simultaneously fulfilling service-specific requirements for Army forces to prepare for large-scale combat operations. It achieves its support to both the Joint Force and Army by concentrating on 7 functions and by providing oversight, or C2, to subordinate Army organizations during competition. Within each Theater Army function, there are multiple tasks the Theater Army might fulfill to achieve its mission. During competition, the Theater Army focuses on enabling the United States, its allies, and other unified action partners to compete effectively below the threshold of armed conflict in ways directed by the combatant commander. These persistent and regular activities provide assurance to partner nations and deter adversaries. The Theater Army does this by focusing on the following functions. Execute the combatant commander's daily operational requirements. Provide administrative control, ADCON, of Army forces. Set and maintain the theater. Set and support operational areas. Exercise C2 over Army forces in the theater. Perform joint roles limited in scope, scale, and duration. Conduct contingency planning for crisis and armed conflict. Combatant Commander Daily Operational Requirements. The Theater Army translates the combatant commander's plans and requirements into concrete actions by Army forces. This includes, but is not limited to, the following activities and tasks. Provide Army support to other services, ASOS. Conduct theater security cooperation. Assess and develop infrastructure. Develop concept plans and O plans. maintain threat models, and provide intelligence on significant changes in the operational environment. Provide administrative control. Administrative control is the direction or exercise of authority over subordinate or other organizations in respect to administration and support. The exercise of ADCON fulfills a military department's statutory responsibilities. ADCON is synonymous with administration and support responsibilities identified in Title 10 USC. ADCON includes organization of service forces, control of resources and equipment, personnel management, unit logistics, individual and unit training, readiness, mobilization, demobilization, discipline, and other matters not included in the operational missions. The Theater Army Headquarters is responsible for ADCON of all Army forces in the AOR in both peacetime and wartime. See AR 10-87 for more information on ADCON. Set and maintain the theater. In addition to the broad requirements in setting a theater, including contributions from all war-fighting functions, theater armies have unique requirements for theater setting met by conducting sustainment preparation of the operational environment. Sustainment preparation of the operational environment is a continuous shaping activity involving analysis to determine infrastructure, environmental, or resource factors in the operational environment that impact the Army's ability to sustain a commander's O-plan. Analysis products cover such topics as host nation support, selection of lines of communications, determination of operational stock assets, replacement operations, and design of a distribution network and information technology infrastructure for the theater. In most cases, these resources, including host nation labor and services, will be shared with partners of other nations in accordance with negotiated agreements. CFM 4O for more information on sustainment preparation of an operational environment. The Theater Army continually analyzes, evaluates, and when directed, expands APS to rapidly provide JFCs with needed Army capabilities. APS augment allocated Army rotational forces already serving in a theater and theater-assigned forces. The tempo and intensity of operations during crisis or armed conflict may not allow for the timely deployment of all of an apportioned force's equipment sets from the United States via strategic airlift or sea lift. Depending on the theater, this may require a large and dispersed equipment force posture based at multiple hardened sites. If needed, a high operational readiness rate will be maintained for APS that allows Army forces to fall in on the equipment and employ it within a few days of arriving in theater. The Theater Army coordinates with Army Materiel Command to maintain and optimize APS. For additional information on APS, refer to ATP 3-35.1. Set and support operational areas. Setting and supporting operational areas for the joint force occurs at operational and tactical echelons. During competition, the Theater Army helps identify likely joint operations areas, JOAs, for ground forces. The Theater Army ensures that the JOA includes bases and base camps needed by forces that primarily operate in the land domain. See ATP 3-37.10 for a discussion on base and base camp planning. Planners must take a holistic approach to understand the needs of the other services and address Army requirements. Due to the large amount of information needed at the tactical echelon to properly set and support JOAs, the Theater Army usually needs to develop a multi-year plan that examines potential areas of operations, AOs. The Theater Army relies on a large number of low-density and high-demand units to conduct this tactical level of analysis. Many of these capabilities reside in the United States Army National Guard or the United States Army Reserve. Exercise command and control over Army forces in the theater. The Theater Army is the Army Service Component Command, ASCC, and it has the responsibility to control attached and assigned Army forces within the AOR through ADCON and Operational Control, OPCON, or Tactical Control, TACON. As the Army component of the Combatant Command, the ASCC is the R4 for the theater. When a subordinate JTF is established containing Army forces, the senior Army headquarters in that JTF is normally designated as its R4. See Appendix B for details on command and support relationships. The Theater Army initially maintains control of all Army forces assigned to an AOR until control is passed to a subordinate JTF in a JOA. This control is usually passed from the Theater Army to the JTF when the Army force is ready for onward movement and integration into the JTF. As part of controlling Army forces, the Theater Army, or other headquarters designated as the R4, maintains ADCON of Army forces and addresses service responsibilities such as coordinating ASOS. Perform joint roles of limited scope and duration. While serving as the ASCC, the Theater Army has the capability to perform three joint roles for the combatant commander. With augmentation, the Theater Army can be the Theater Joint Force Land Component Command, a JTF, or the Joint Force Land Component Command to a JTF in a JOA. However, these roles can only be performed in limited scope, scale, and duration unless the JFC provides significant augmentation. Contingency planning for crisis and conflict. A key aspect of combatant command and service component planning during competition or crisis is the development of contingency plans. A contingency plan is a branch of a campaign plan that is planned based on hypothetical situations for designated threats, catastrophic events, and contingent missions outside of crisis conditions. JP50. Contingency plans are branches to global, regional, functional, and combatant campaign plans that address potential threats that put one or more national interests at risk in ways that warrant military operations. Contingency plans anticipate the possibility that campaign activities during competition could fail to prevent aggression, a need to respond to instability in a key state or region, or response to natural disasters. CJP50 for more information on contingency planning. The Theater Army commander and staff assist the combatant command in developing contingency plans, including developing subordinate plans for Army forces as required. Theater Army planners routinely review and update contingency plans to ensure they remain feasible. This includes a review of Army force structure and its relation to joint time-phased force and deployment data, TIPFED. This relationship is covered in detail under force tailoring in this chapter. Army corps and divisions that are regionally aligned to a specific combatant command may develop subordinate plans as directed. Army corps and divisions train for and rehearse these plans in Joint Chiefs of Staff-directed exercises, Army Mission Command training program exercises, and other training events. Theater commanders may direct the development of a general defense plan to ensure focused preparation for conflict, particularly with regard to actions friendly forces take when conflict is imminent, so Army forces understand their requirements during the opening phase of an enemy attack. See ADP50 for Doctrine on Army Planning. Theater Army and select subordinate organizations prepare for operations that could occur in the rear areas identified during OPLAN development. Planning and preparing for rear area operations facilitates consolidation of gains during armed conflict. Where possible, the Theater Army should involve the rear area command posts of regionally aligned corps and divisions in the development and refinement of plans dealing with rear areas likely to be part of those units' AOs. Regionally aligned units that primarily operate in the rear area must be included in planning and exercises whenever possible. Army formations coordinate, rehearse, and support host nation execution of stability and security missions. These efforts help minimize the diversion of combat power from other priorities. Civil affairs units have expertise for analyzing potential civil networks to execute these missions. They identify potential civil networks through civil preparation of the environment and the civil network development and engagement process. Civil preparation of the environment is the continuous development of civil knowledge within an area of operations to help commanders identify capabilities within civil society that can be integrated with operations for stability and security activities. FM3-57. This minimizes the requirement for Army forces in the rear area and facilitates the maintenance or restoration of host nation governance and legitimacy. Force tailoring. Force tailoring is the process of determining the right mix of forces and the sequence of their deployment in support of a joint force commander. ADP 3.0. It involves selecting the right force structure for a joint operation from available units within a combatant command and from the Army force pool. Commanders then sequence forces into an AO as part of force projection. JFCs request and receive forces for each campaign phase, adjusting the quantity of service component forces to match the effort required. TIP-fed documents contain both force composition and force flow requirements, and they are the primary method by which JFCs tailor their inbound forces. Theater armies tailor forces to meet land force requirements as determined by JFCs, and they recommend a deployment sequence to meet those requirements. Force tailoring is continuous. See JP 3-35 for more information on force tailoring and TIP-fed development. Theater Army Assigned Forces. Each theater army has assigned or allocated theater-level forces that provide additional support across the combatant commander's AOR and help the theater army achieve its objectives. Different theaters have different subordinate forces with distinct command and support relationships based on theater requirements and force availability. The units described in the paragraphs that follow are common theater-level formations that facilitate operations during competition. Theater Sustainment Command. The Theater Sustainment Command, TSC, is the Army's organization for the integration and synchronization of sustainment in a theater. The TSC connects strategic enablers to tactical formations. It is a theater-committed asset to each theater army, and it focuses on Title 10, USC Support of Army Forces for Theater Security Cooperation, and the combatant commander's daily operational requirements. TSCs execute sustainment operations through their assigned and attached units while integrating and synchronizing sustainment operations across an AOR. They have four operational responsibilities to forces in theater: theater opening, theater distribution, sustainment, and theater closing. The task-organized TSC is tailored to provide operational-level sustainment support within an assigned AOR. It integrates and synchronizes sustainment operations for the theater army, including all army forces forward stationed, transiting, or operating within an AOR. The TSC coordinates Title 10, USC, ASOS, DOD Executive Agency, and lead service responsibilities across the entire theater. See ATP 4-94 for more information on the TSC. Military Intelligence Brigade Theater. The MIBT is usually assigned to the combatant command with OPCON delegated to the theater army. It provides mission command for the theater army's information collection and intelligence analysis capabilities across all intelligence disciplines, integrating theater and national architectures and data to support the theater army's daily operations requirements and preparation for contingency operations. The Theater Army Headquarters specifically relies on the MIBT for threat characteristics, intelligence estimates, threat and civil considerations, data services, intelligence architecture development and maintenance, and all-source intelligence products. These efforts support Theater Army planning requirements, including development of Army plans supporting the CCP and maintenance of O plans and contingency plans. The MIBT serves as the intelligence anchor point for deploying forces, providing theater-specific expertise and support. It maintains a regional intelligence architecture that deploying and theater-aligned units can access. This allows units to tailor mission planning and training and effectively leverage the broader intelligence enterprise. The MIBT's regional focus provides continuity and cultural context to its analytic intelligence products. The brigade can collect, analyze, and track the threat characteristics and doctrine of theater state and non-state actors over many years, providing indications and warnings of changes in an operational environment. This allows it to create and maintain a valuable database of intelligence regarding persons of interest and the evolving doctrine and capabilities of regional military forces. See FM20 for more information on the MIBT. Theater Aviation Elements. Theater aviation support is executed by Theater Aviation Brigades, Theater Airfield Operations Groups, and Theater Aviation Sustainment Maintenance Groups. Each theater aviation brigade can conduct assault or general support aviation tasks in support of the theater and its subordinate commands, but it requires augmentation with attack aviation or unmanned aircraft system, UAS, units to conduct attack, reconnaissance, and security operations. Combat aviation brigades may also support theater aviation operations with lift, attack, and UAS capabilities. Theater airfield operations groups provide air traffic services, conduct airfield management operations, and support RSOI requirements for aviation assets. The Theater Aviation Sustainment Group is resourced to provide aviation sustainment maintenance and limited depot sustainment support throughout the theater AO. See FM 3-04 for more information on aviation brigades and groups. Army Air and Missile Defense Command. The Army Air and Missile Defense Command, AAMDC, is the highest echelon for air defense artillery units. It is usually under OPCON of the Theater Army or Land Component Command if designated, with the AAMDC commander serving as the Theater Army AMD coordinator. The AAMDC is also usually in direct support of the Theater Air Force or Air Component Command if designated, with the AAMDC commander serving as the Theater Deputy Area Air Defense Commander. The AAMDC participates in theater exercises and integrates with joint and multinational partners in all aspects of AMD operations. It provides assets and coordinates coverage to protect forward position joint and army forces and critical infrastructure from air, missile, and rocket attack. This protection includes early warning, surveillance, tracking, and defense against tactical short-range targets through intermediate-range ballistic missiles. See FM 3-01 and ATP 3-01.94 for more information on AAMDC planning and execution. Signal Command, Theater, or Strategic Signal Brigade. The Theater Army is the designated DoD executive agent for setting and supporting the theater communications and network infrastructure in all AORs. The Theater Army executes these responsibilities either through a Signal Command, Theater, or Strategic Signal Brigade assigned to support the AOR. Either unit provides connectivity to Defense Information Systems Network services up to secret classification. This connectivity includes establishing and operating the theater network architecture to support all joint and army forces operating in an AOR. The Signal Command, Theater, or Strategic Signal Brigade provides oversight, leadership, and technical direction over the theater network and spectrum management support for all army units across the theater. It also provides centralized management of data, voice, and video networks, including interfaces with joint, interorganizational, and multinational systems in the theater. Enforcement of global cybersecurity policies to support the combatant commander and theater army commander. Oversight of units installing, operating, maintaining, and securing signal support systems and network interfaces to joint and multinational partner systems in theater. Establishment of mission priorities to ensure network capabilities are available to meet commanders' information requirements. Theater Engineer Command. The Theater Engineer Command, TEC, supports the Theater Army by organizing and directing Army combat, general, and geospatial engineer assets to improve mobility, enhance survivability, enable force projection and logistics, build partner capacity, and develop infrastructure. The primary focus of the TEC during competition is to determine and build the needed infrastructure to facilitate deployment of United States forces, protect forward-stationed United States forces, and, where possible, build up the capabilities of allied and partner nations to withstand an initial assault by a peer threat. Examples of engineer activities the TEC directs are conducting route analysis and terrain analysis of potential assembly areas for large army units like BCTs and identifying needed assets to construct dispersed base clusters in the rear areas to support logistics operations in the close area. When directed, the TEC also provides C2 for engineers from other services and multinational organizations and provides technical oversight, quality assurance and surveillance assistance for contracted construction engineers according to the relationships established by the JSC. See FM3-34 for more information on Theater Engineer Commands. Battlefield Coordination Detachment. A Battlefield Coordination Detachment, BCD, is a specialized, regionally focused Army element that serves as the senior Army operational commander's liaison with the air component. A BCD is co-located with the Joint Air Operations Center, JAOC, Combined Air Operations Center, or the Air Force Air Operations Center. The BCD is the Army's interface for systems connectivity to the JAOC and for personnel integration with their JAOC counterparts. The BCD supports the Land Component Command during large-scale combat operations. Army Corps relay requirements and requests to the Land Component, who in turn relays Land Component requirements and requests for Joint Force Air Component support through the BCD. The BCD represents the Joint Force Land Component Commander throughout the Joint Air Tasking Cycle in the JAOC. See ATP3-09.13 for Doctrine on the BCD. Theater Fires Command or Element. An Army Theater Fires Command or Theater Fires Element provides C2 of assigned fires capabilities, serves as the senior organization assigned to a theater army to integrate allocated or assigned fires capabilities, and executes critical fire support functions. It develops and nominates joint targets across the theater. This support to joint targeting supports the continuous setting of the theater and coalition forces Land Component Commander, CFLC, Field Army when constituted, and Corps Operations. The Theater Fires Command or Element ensures the Army's contribution to the joint targeting process is effectively planned and executed during competition and crisis, and can quickly transition to large-scale combat operations in accordance with the Ground Force Commander's priorities. See FM3-09 for additional information on Theater Fires Commands and Elements. Army Field Support Brigade. The Army Field Support Brigade links strategic resources to tactical units, and it can be assigned in support of a theater army or a corps. It provides APS readiness, ensuring stocks are maintained for use by arriving forces during crisis or armed conflict. The execution of APS equipment configuration and handoff operations are exercised as individual events and also as part of larger exercises, including the Defender exercise series. Army Field Support Brigades also run logistics civil augmentation programs. These can be used to provide resources to emerging needs, including theater-wide contract and other support to theater setting and opening requirements. The relationships developed during competition with potential contract support organizations can be leveraged to meet sustainment requirements using organizations already in theater. These and other functions are integral to building and maintaining combat power for large-scale combat operations by enabling the rapid and effective arrival and employment of Army forces. See ATP4-98 for additional details on the Army Field Support Brigade. Multi-Domain Task Force. The Multi-Domain Task Force, MDTF, provides the joint force with a formation capable of employing long-range precision fires and other effects from multiple domains in support of the commander's objectives. It is designed to defeat complex enemy systems through the collection of information and different forms of lethal and non-lethal fires. When required, it can be task-organized to provide capabilities to the JTF or component commander. During competition, the MDTF may be forward-stationed in a combatant commander's AOR to employ joint and army capabilities in support of target development. The MDTF headquarters coordinates and synchronizes the information collection operations of its assigned formations with other theater and national assets. The MDTF is capable of coordinating and integrating cyberspace electromagnetic activities and space capabilities with long-range surface fires to deceive, neutralize, or disrupt enemy formations, C2 nodes, and cyberspace electromagnetic activities. It does so to enable Army and Joint Forces to penetrate and disintegrate enemy A2 and AD-enabling C2 systems and exploit the resulting freedom of maneuver. The MDTF is designed to operate in a distributed fashion while retaining the ability to deliver effects that create opportunities for joint force exploitation. based upon specific mission variables. The MDTF may be augmented with capabilities from across the warfighting functions. Security Force Assistance Brigades. Security Force Assistance Brigades, SFABs, provide advisors to conduct worldwide SFA operations to develop the capacity and capability of foreign security forces and their supporting institutions in support of theater security cooperation objectives. Advisors shape an operational environment by strengthening allies and building lasting partnerships. Advisors increase host nation capability through joint exercises, and they remain ready to support the partnered forces' operations and modernization in conjunction with other instruments of national power. An SFAB improves interoperability by providing teams to advise partner nation forces across all warfighting functions. It advises at the battalion, brigade, division, and corps levels. When the SFAB is consistently employed with a partner nation, it can improve a partner nation security force. SFABs are regionally aligned to a specified geographic area to cultivate an in-depth knowledge and experience base capable of addressing the unique concerns of a given theater. The advisors in SFABs, in conjunction with civil affairs and theater information collection assets, enhance the common intelligence picture for a combatant commander, since they have direct knowledge of a partner's force capabilities and have experience with their population. When directed, they conduct liaison and support activities to enable multinational operations during armed conflict. SFABs are uniquely manned and equipped to provide enduring presence in regions of strategic competition to promote interoperability, build partner conventional warfighting capacity, and set conditions for contingency operations. See ATP 3-96.1 for additional details on the SFAB. Core roles during competition. When a core is present in a combatant commander's AOR, it provides the C2 linkage between subordinate tactical echelons and theater strategic echelons. For example, 5th Corps oversees theater-assigned units such as the 2nd Cavalry Regiment, 12th Combat Aviation Brigade, and the 41st Field Artillery Brigade, and it oversees the employment of the MDTF assigned to United States European Command. During competition, it is also normal for the Corps to have an Expeditionary Sustainment Command, Operational Fires Command, Expeditionary Military Intelligence Brigade, and a Medical Brigade in general support. During exercises to prepare for large-scale combat operations, the Corps fills one of three roles. The Corps can be designated as Tactical Land Headquarters employing multiple divisions. It may also assume the role of a Joint Task Force Headquarters or Land Component Command Headquarters during a contingency operation or training event after it undergoes the necessary training and joint augmentation. When the Corps is the Land Component Command Headquarters, it also serves as the R4. See FM 3-94 and ATP 3-92 for more information on the Corps. Division roles during competition. Divisions are often the primary interface with various unified action partners during competition. When regionally aligned, a division with a tailored package of subordinate brigades and other enablers, both regular Army and Reserve component, is allocated to a combatant commander to help execute the CCP. Examples of additional enablers include maneuver enhancement brigades and civil affairs, military intelligence, military police, CBURN, psychological operations, explosive ordnance disposal, and engineer units. A regionally aligned division normally works with multinational partners to conduct security cooperation over extended periods. By establishing habitual relationships, divisions help assure allies, build trust with partner nations, and build interoperability with them and other unified action partners. Divisions help partners build shared situational understanding and partner capacity. They also deter conflict through the conduct of various activities such as exercises, training, equipping, education, conferences, and military staff talks. Division support to security cooperation helps shape regional stability by building defense relationships that promote United States security interests, developing friendly military capabilities for self-defense and multinational operations, providing the division and other United States forces with peacetime and contingency access to host nations to prevent and deter conflict, improving readiness to incorporate allied or partner formations. Division headquarters provide direct C2 of the brigades tasked to conduct specific operations, supporting security cooperation and interoperability development with partners. They provide training resources and oversight to brigades at home station. Division headquarters are responsible for leader development down to the battalion level. They continuously improve the readiness of Army forces over which they have influence, protecting their time and ensuring that demanding realistic training is the first priority. Division headquarters provide subject matter expertise to assist brigades as they prepare for missions or capstone training exercises to include awareness of NATO or American, British, Canadian, Australian, and New Zealand, known as ABCANs, interoperability standards when forces from those nations are involved. Low-density military occupation specialties or specialized units may benefit from the division consolidation of training events. Divisions have subject matter experts in low-density specialties who develop, implement, execute, and evaluate training programs across several echelons. CFM 3-94 and ATP 3-91 for a further discussion of division roles and responsibilities. Brigade combat teams during competition. BCTs provide combatant commanders with a combined arms close combat force that can operate as part of a division or a joint task force. During competition, they focus on perfecting tactical tasks in preparation to execute O plans for large-scale combat operations. Forward-deployed BCTs assess and improve protection measures against adversary capabilities and promote interoperability with host nation tactical units. While most of a rotational brigade's training occurs in the continental United States and does not involve partner nation forces, brigades anticipate and plan how to integrate with host nation forces. Familiarity with agreed-to, coalition, or bilateral interoperability standards helps increase alliance or coalition capability and minimizes the time necessary for learning during execution. See FM 3-96 for information on BCTs and FM 3-16 for information about multinational operations. Consolidating gains during competition. Army forces continuously consolidate gains to maintain an operational environment that is advantageous to United States strategic interests. Experience proves that what Army forces do during competition helps ensure stability and reduces the potential for man-made crises or armed conflict throughout a region, even in locations where no previous combat has occurred. Examples of consolidating gains during competition range from transportation system improvements, including port, airfield, and rail lines of communications, increasing theater supply stocks, intelligence cooperation, and providing Army medical personnel to support a combatant command's humanitarian and civic assistance activities. Army forces contributing to humanitarian relief efforts with allies and partners help cement existing international relationships or set conditions for new ones in other places. Army forces consolidate gains most effectively by maintaining a persistent or permanent presence in a theater of operations. This presence enables the cultivation of relationships on a predictable and reliable basis and provides Army forces a high degree of regular access to allies and partners. The enduring results of these activities help ambassadors, country teams, and JFCs gain a greater degree of influence with allies and partners as they pursue mutually beneficial objectives. In addition to this increased influence, Army consolidating gains activities contribute to joint efforts to support deterrence. Consolidation of gains during competition following armed conflict or crisis is significantly different than during steady state competition. In areas that have not seen recent armed conflict or a disruptive crisis, Army forces consolidate gains by reinforcing the success of steady state competition activities. They do this by following through on what was begun earlier in consistent ways that provide predictability to allies and partners. In most cases, these activities will be indistinguishable from other competition activities designed to build partner capabilities and improve other advantages relative to threat forces. Consolidating gains following armed conflict requires significant operations that, if not properly conducted, could result in a return to crisis or conflict. These efforts include information collection and intelligence analysis to understand threats, their support from the population, and what options are available to defeat them. Consolidating gains also includes stability tasks related to providing security, food, water, shelter, and medical treatment to the population. When appropriate, Army forces then work to restore or rebuild civil institutions and to transition security and stability tasks to those institutions. See FM3-07 and FM3-57 for additional details on stability operations and governance. When immediate concerns are addressed after a crisis or armed conflict, the Theater Army and supporting forces focus most of their efforts on theater strategic consolidation of gains. They work with the theater's other components, the combatant command, interagency partners, primarily the Department of State, partner nations, and other unified action partners to develop and achieve long-term objectives. In general, these consolidation of gains activities are less intense and occur over longer periods of time. Army forces build on the success of past conflicts by conducting targeted engagements with unified action partners. Examples of this include routine engagements with Republic of Korea, Japanese, and NATO forces by forward-positioned and rotational units. See ATP3-93 for a detailed overview of routine theater army activities to consolidate gains during competition. Peace operations are a means of consolidating gains. Peace operations are multi-agency and multinational crisis response and limited contingency operations involving all instruments of national power with military missions to contain conflict, redress the peace, and shape the environment to support reconciliation and rebuilding and facilitate the transition to legitimate governance. JP3-07.3. They usually occur under agreements brokered through organizations like the United Nations or through regional bodies like the African Union. See JP3-07.3 and ATP3-07.31 for additional details on peace operations. Transition to crisis and armed conflict. Transitions are inherently complex and unpredictable because anticipated environmental conditions can quickly change and alter the perception of strategic leaders who do not have all the information necessary for clear understanding. A response by one side can result in the perception of escalation by the other, leading to increased tensions. A crisis requiring a response can also occur because of unforeseen environmental changes. Transition from competition to crisis or armed conflict is often based on four types of decisions, resulting actions, and the follow-on associated effects from the initial action. Examples include a decision by national command authorities to escalate or initiate armed conflict. Examples include the 2003 invasion of Iraq, the 2011 Libya strike, and the 2020 strike against Iranian General Qasem Soleimani. A decision by adversaries to escalate or initiate armed conflict. Examples include Hezbollah's rocket strikes against Israel in 2006, the Russo-Georgia War in 2008, and the Russian invasions of Ukraine in 2014 and 2022. A decision by allied nations to escalate or initiate an armed conflict. An example of this is the 1967 Six-Day War that occurred between Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Iraq, and Israel. Decisions made in response to a rapid environmental change that neither side planned for but causes tensions to rise. An example is the change brought to the strategic environment by the 2020 pandemic. Army forces and leaders anticipate the potential for conflict in their operational environment. This is informed by input from the intelligence community and direction from strategic level leaders. SFABs and other regionally aligned units have access to sensitive areas and ally and partner leaders. Their access and robust communications enable them to gain insight on actual conditions on the ground and provide real-time updates to decision makers during fluid situations. Decisions made before and during the initial stages of a crisis or armed conflict have significant impact on the decisions made by adversaries and the ultimate outcome of a particular situation. Once a crisis or armed conflict starts, adversaries use all capabilities at their disposal to disrupt the deployment of army forces. They will attempt to prevent the army and the joint force from obtaining the needed time to deploy and build combat power. This chaos, with its resultant frictions, is the environment into which army forces will respond. Conflict type determination. Army forces and leaders need to anticipate the type of conflict the nation will fight. This is informed by input from the intelligence community and direction from strategic level leaders. Decisions made before and during the initial stages of a crisis or armed conflict have significant impact on the decisions made by adversaries and the ultimate outcome of a particular situation. The initial decisions or recommendations by Army strategic leaders impact the ability of the Army to project force in a timely manner. Force protection. Indications and warnings in a theater may prompt a decision to mobilize and deploy Army forces in anticipation of a crisis or armed conflict. Army forces anticipate and react to adversary actions targeting them where they are located during the initial stages of an operation, whether in the United States or forward deployed. Adversaries seek to degrade and disrupt the ability of Army forces to deploy. Adversaries may employ cyberspace attacks to inflict power outages at home station, target transportation networks to delay shipment of unit equipment, conduct social media attacks on service or family members, and instigate protests that lower popular support for Army forces. Insider threats and proxies can conduct acts of terror, sabotage, subterfuge, and other activities against United States forces stationed in the United States and abroad. Adversaries may immediately employ lethal capabilities against Army forces using their air, sea, cyber, and space-based capabilities to exploit surprise. Forward-stationed forces should be prepared to deploy from garrison to dispersed locations to prepare a defense against an enemy attack. Force protection during transition will include physical security measures, operation security, and active information efforts to counter adversary efforts to misinform and otherwise influence soldiers, family members, and supporting organizations and communities. Non-combatant evacuation operations. A transition to crisis or armed conflict may require a non-combatant evacuation operation, NEO. Army forces conduct NEOs under a wide range of conditions. They may be conducted under relatively stable conditions or under unstable conditions that involve enemy combatants. Ideally, leaders anticipate a NEO requirement and are able to execute it prior to crisis or armed conflict. Uncertain adversary intentions and the threat of violence often create desperation amongst evacuees and local populations and increase the complexity and risk for forces conducting NEOs. Once a NEO is requested, approved, and directed, the combatant commander directs forces to conduct evacuation operations in support of the Department of State and Chief of Mission. NEOs, especially those of significant scale, will require Army forces that would otherwise be dedicated to other missions. See JP3-68 for more information on NEOs. Initial employment of forward-stationed forces. A key strategic decision during competition or crisis is whether forward-stationed units will defend forward to hold terrain or displace to more advantageous positions. This decision should occur during competition unless a crisis unfolds in unanticipated ways and forces a decision point. During transition, forward-stationed Army forces have three courses of action. The JFC can integrate Army forces with host nation land component forces as part of a mobile or area defense, assign United States Army forces a theater reserve role, or implement a plan that combines both courses of action. A theater reserve role allows the JFC to preserve Army combat power for future offensive operations. Army forces may be required to defend key terrain and infrastructure to allow for receiving deploying forces. Army leaders advise the JFC on the best ways to use forward-stationed forces based on current conditions in the AO.